Blog Talk Radio.
Things will never be the same without you.
What did I do to deserve this? I didn't even get one last kiss from you. Oh, baby, God took your love from me. You needed an angel, so it seems. I need to feel your hands all over me. I need to feel you kissing me. Me. I need to feel your touch, 'cause I miss your love so much. And I can't keep on living this way. I need you here with me. Why could he take you away from me? It's hard for me to tell you I love.
Hey world, it's your girl T Fizzle, and you're on T Fizzle Radio. And that was a song that I really like. It's called "Missing You" by First Lady. I'm coming out here today because I had gotten a lot of responses and a lot of people wanted to do another show. And I had my co-host here, Miss T. She had called into the last show, so a lot of people enjoyed a lot of stuff she had to say. So I asked her to join with me. So, Ms. T, can you introduce yourself to the people?
Good evening, world. My name is Ms. T, calling in from Minneapolis, Minnesota.
All right. So, I know you guys heard over the weekend about Candy's ex-fiance, AJ, getting beat to death in Atlanta. So, you know, once again, the senseless violence is still going on. It's still rampant in our community. And, it's really sad because we all saw him on the reality show. You know, we all saw him and Candy's relationship. And to know that, you know, your life could just be taken so quickly, you know, it's a sad thing. So basically, I just want to get people's feelings on what they think about that. And then I also wanted to kind of answer some questions that I had gotten some people on YouTube. And I also see calls that are starting to come in here. So we're definitely going to let the callers in and let them through. So, Ms. T, what did you think when you first heard about AJ's passing and the way he passed?
Well, I just, my thought was shock at first because, you know, he, like you said, we've been seeing him on TV and, you know, I'm a fan of Candy, always have been, and, you know, she's just such a loving person and they were already dealing with the drunk driving incident, you know, so I just felt a lot of sympathy for him and his family.
Yeah, it is really sad. I'm going to go ahead and let some callers in here real quick. We're going to start with area code 773.
Only.
773, you're on the air. Who is this?
This is Philosophs Only.
Hey, Philosophs. How you doing tonight?
All right. How you doing?
I'm doing good. So what did you think when you heard about AJ's passing and the way he passed in Atlanta?
AJ, I've heard of.
Now, he's the guy from The Real Housewives of Atlanta. He was the fiancé to Candy, if you hadn't heard. They had gotten to a fight, and he got hit, I guess, in the head really, really hard, and it ended up killing him. But he was on a reality show on Real Housewives of Atlanta. Once again, the sense of violence isn't stopping.
This past weekend, he got hit. He got his head busted open?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear about that. Sorry to hear about that. Well, how did he get his head busted open, though?
That's what everybody's trying to find out. I mean, I'm not really sure. It just hit the news earlier. What was that, Saturday morning is when I first heard about it.
I ain't even hear about it. They got clips.
So let me
let
one more caller here. Just a second. I see Princess FAA calling in.
Mm-hmm.
Hey.
Hey, Princess.
Yes, it's me. I'm on.
Oh, okay. So now how did you feel when you heard about what was going on with Candy and the whole AJ situation?
Wow, I thought that was, you know, sad because she really did love him, and you could tell that his kids, you know, loved him as well, you know. Even though Candy's mom didn't really care for him, I would just love to be a fly on the wall at their house right now just to see what she's thinking or the look on her face, because I know she feel like shit probably because she already didn't like him in the beginning, and, you know, she always talked down on him.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think the whole situation is really, really sad and unfortunate. And it kind of brought me back to the situation that kind of happened with Darius with the fight. And even though it wasn't a gun that took his life, but another senseless beating. Now, I wanted to, like, just kind of go over some of the questions I had gotten from some people, and I got another call coming in as well. Now, this is one of the questions that somebody had asked. And they felt like when they saw the video, they didn't like the fact that I was addressing black people, basically. They felt like, well, there's other races. What about Asian people? And white people kill people also. And like I had stated to the person, I understand that other people commit crimes. I understand that other races, you know, deal with senseless violence. And I understand that, you know, not every black person is bad. Of course not. Are we all out here beating people up and killing people? No, of course not. But the point is there's just too many of us, you know what I'm saying, who are down with this thug mentality and who think that this lifestyle is cool, and those are the people I'm addressing. If you're not one of those people, what are you so offended for? I mean, how do you guys feel about people in the black community trying to push the blame elsewhere?
I think it's an excuse, and they really need to look around and open their eyes and stop worrying about other people and worrying about what's going on in their community and with their children. If they spend more time than doing that than pointing fingers and saying, what if this and that, they'd be fine.
Yeah, I feel you on that one. So what do you feel, Ms. T?
I think that if we stop and realize that we're the most divided race,
mm-hmm.
It shouldn't really be a discussion on who we need to fix first.
Exactly. And that's how I felt. I felt like you got to clean your own home first before mm-hmm. you can go trying to clean somebody else's home. That's like me coming to somebody else's house and saying, your house is dirty, but my house is a mess. I can't go address white folks or Asian people when we have, you know, plenty of issues in our community to solve. We as females are still tripping over this whole light skin, dark skin thing. We still have insecurities with our hair grade and our hair texture. We're still tripping, you know, over something that is, you know, as simple as skin tone. We can't even get over that hump. But, you know, I just feel like it's an excuse to say, oh, well, what about other races?
Mm-hmm.
Not before you can focus on somebody else's race. Because like I told the girl, at the end of the day, I don't belong to the Asian race. I'm not Asian. I'm not Mexican. So I have to be concerned with my own race first. And until my own race starts to do better and have a better mentality, I'ma always have something to say, because I feel like we as a people, we can do better and we can get along, and we don't have to trip over just the basic, you know, just the stupidest things that we trip off of that other races don't trip off of. What y'all think? You
agree too.
Absolutely agree with everything y'all
too.
Just said.
Because
mm-hmm.
I'm sick of, they say, okay, well, what about this race? What about that? This and that. You need to worry about what's going on in your home and what's in your community, and with your children. You don't need to be worrying about other people, other folk. That's people problem now, our people problem now. They too busy worrying about, okay, well, what about this race? They do this, they do that. Worry about what's going on in your home, your community, with your children.
Exactly, because I don't see other races, you know, putting up rallies to help save other black people. You know, if we don't do it, nobody else is going to. Because a lot of people would just rather sit around and watch us kill ourselves, and that's real talk.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's what they want us to do. So if they want us to kill ourselves, why are they going to fight for us to do right? We got to fight for ourselves to do better.
Exactly.
Let me take in another call. I see somebody calling in from 843.
Hello?
843.
Hello, Miss T.
Hey, is this Rachel?
Uh-huh.
I got your name right this time. I didn't realize that until the last show when I re-listened to it. I said I called her Michelle by accident.
Well, that's all good. Did you see that clip on World Star Hip Hop where the it's in the Dominican Republic and a thief was caught stealing and they tied him to a pole and beat him?
Oh, and they was beating him?
Yeah, I'm about to post a link in the chat room if anybody wants to look at it. I mean, it's nothing to really, you know. I don't like looking at it, but, you know, in case you didn't see it, you know.
Yeah, I did see that. What did you think about it?
I read a comment, and I totally agree with it. And he was basically saying, that's why we have law enforcement. That's why God, like, if you believe in God, he's like, just leave it to law enforcement, leave it to God. And, like, I can understand if somebody broke in my house, I would be pretty upset, too. But for the whole community, the whole block to be up there and whip the man, and at the end, the woman blindfolded him so he couldn't even see what was going on. That was just pure torture. Like, I mean, it turned in from, like, it went overboard, just senseless.
Yeah. I mean, that was crazy. But then again, when I saw it, I was thinking, you know, because it looked like visual anti. You know, somebody broke into their home and the whole community came together to beat his butt. You know what I'm saying? So to me, I felt like, maybe if that happened in the States, there wouldn't be as much crime. You know what I'm saying? Like, people would think twice. So maybe now before he thinks to go jump and break into somebody else's house, he's going to think twice about that.
I mean, I'm,
you know,
saying,
not saying it was right. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I feel like the comment, I just think they went overboard. Like, I don't know how long that incident actually happened, but it's like, I think he should, like, I can understand somebody from beating him, like the owners of the house and, you know, tying him up till the police came, but it didn't seem like nobody was going to call law enforcement.
Mm-mm.
They were just going to leave him up there, you know.
And then it was like people from the street who you could tell didn't have nothing to do with it. They just didn't get beat. They was joining in and everything else. And I'm just sitting here looking like, I mean, the stuff that they put on World Star Hip Hop is a trip. And I want to get on that topic while we're on World Star Hip Hop. This was another question, a comment I had gotten from somebody from the last show. And they were asking me, they said, do I feel like social networking plays a big role in all of this violence and people walking around putting stuff on video? Because when I was in school, we had cell phones, but we didn't have video cell phones. So, you know, a lot of times, let's say somebody gets into a fight. The only people who saw that fight were the people who were there. You might talk about it, but you didn't see it. You know, unless you were there, you didn't see it. But now it's to the point now where I think a lot of these fights that are being filmed are meant to embarrass people. Because there was a girl who got jumped. She was a cheerleader, and people ran out to the football field. It's almost got hip hop. And she got jumped by some girls in the stand, some over some he said, she said. And they basically beat her up. And, of course, somebody was recording it. They put it up on Facebook. And she was, like, crying to the news because basically she felt like what hurt more were her so-called friends going on Facebook and saying, you know, laugh out loud and, you know, oh, my God, that's what she gets. And, you know, basically making fun of her. So how do you guys feel about the social network? If you feel like the YouTubes and the Facebooks and all these video sites play a part in why kids are getting worse as far as, like, the fighting and the recording and things like that?
I think it perpetuates it. Helps perpetuate the situation, the negative stereotypes of the black community and whatnot, to instigate fights and whatnot, because our race, unfortunately, you know, loves fighting, loves drama and beef and stress and whatnot.
Right. And as long as the viewers, and you know, out there in these type of websites saying, okay, give me more drama, you know, then it's going to continue to happen.
I mean, it's a... so it's something that we got to change in the community, because it's like freedom of speech. You know, just because you have freedom of speech don't mean you should be yapping out the mouth saying something unnecessary. And unfortunately, until our community stops wanting to see that, that's what people going to give us, you know? That's what they're going to put up.
I definitely agree with that. You know, and I think that, you know, it's to the point now where when people see a fight, they don't even, I mean, it's just to that point. You can hear them talking, you know, as they're recording the video. Oh, I can't wait to put this on YouTube. I can't wait to send this to Worldside Hip Hop. So it's almost like people are going out either starting fights or looking for fights just so they can get, like, their 15 minutes of fame because they're the person who recorded the video and they put it on the, you know, on the Internet.
To get fame, fortune, popularity for something that is sad and pitiful.
It seems like they be ready because, like, sometimes you could tell that's not like a cell phone camera. It's like somebody be carrying around a camcorder
like a
ready.
Professional
fam.
A lot of times it happens the same way where you knew about the fight that was supposed to happen at 3 o'clock when school let out. So now you bring your camera.
You
have it already.
Yeah, you're right.
Because
so
you know,
they're here about it the same way, but they're just coming prepared to tape it. You know,
because they done already heard the word. Oh, it's gonna be a fight, such and such time at in the school. Better have your camera phone ready. So everybody got their cameras ready to roll.
Well, you know, I just think that we need to make sure we're teaching them that, you know, how much ignorance it is, you know, and really instill that into them that that's ignorant and it's a stereotype and you're being stereotyped.
Right.
To be the nothing or the violent or, you know, the negative person that us black people are looked at as, you know. If this is what you play a part in, you're just that same statistic, you know. You're what they're looking down on. You're giving them that reason. So we have to definitely, you know, try to teach that to them. And then, you know, I see all these children nowadays with cell phones. You know, I don't even think I had a cell phone at 13 or 12, you know, things like that, or a pager or anything like that at that time. But, you know, me as a parent, I'm going to go through it. I'm sorry, you don't have that much freedom, especially if you're paying for it. So I don't see how, you know, our children are being able to pass these videos along without somebody knowing to intervene.
Yeah. And Ms. J in the chat room is saying that it makes our community so disconnected. And I think it does. It gets to a point where people just get immune to it. I mean, now it's like you go to YouTube and you put in girl fight or black kids fighting, and you have thousands of videos that pop up. So now it's almost like a game. You know, who can get the most hits on YouTube, who can get the most subscribers off of their videos. I mean, look at the girls who did the salon beating. You know, they bought the video cameras with them with the intentions to beat up the salon owner. And, I mean, the way they beat her was just so senseless, you know. And it's like they did it not even thinking about the ramifications. I mean, granted, they got off with the slap on the wrist, but I feel like had that salon owner been of another race, they would have did time. But because it was black-on-black violence, it was like, okay, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Slap on the wrist. But it's almost like they didn't even think it through as far as, okay, I'm recording myself doing a violent act. What's going to be the repercussion? They were just like, you know, hey, we about to be famous. We putting this up on YouTube. And, yeah, they got famous, but they, you know, they didn't get no props from that.
But that's the problem, that there aren't too many repercussions. These children didn't become violent that day. You know, these children didn't get that mentality that day. So, obviously, they were, you know, able to get away with things, whether they were small, you know, little negative things or disrespectful things that allowed them to believe that I'm not going to get in trouble for this. I'm a juvenile, you know, and too many of our children think that way because that record gets thrown out, and if you, you know, if you don't have, if you're young, you're going to get a slap on the wrist, you know. So, you know, I think that a lot of the children are not being taught, you know, the right from wrong, so they think that they're invincible in this world.
Did you guys see
the like the video after that when the young lady that was doing most of the fighting when she had went to court and the young ladies that the girl that got jumped on, her sister like confronted the main one that was doing the beating.
Yeah.
And how, like, you kind of notice how, like, her attitude was changed when her homegirls went with her. And
mm-hmm.
I mean, I
and
know.
See, that's that pack mentality. Once you get somebody alone, it's a whole nother story. They're apologizing, they're stuttering, but when they're with their crew, they got so much to say.
Mm.
And that's in everyday life. I know a lot of people like that. When they're with their crew, they're big and bad, but then you get them by themselves, it's a whole other story. And old girl sister proved that right, because she didn't have too much to say to the sister once her sister got up in her face.
I mean, granted, they was in front of the courthouse, and it would have been kind of stupid, but at the same time, you were stupid enough to put that on camera. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not saying that this shouldn't have changed her attitude and made her stop and look, but at the same time, it kind of showed me that a lot of, like, that's how a lot of people are. Like you said, when they get a crew behind them, they're the baddest bunch. They want to prove that, like I said in the channel, they want respect. And
mm-hmm.
that way our community knows how to get respect is being the scariest one, being the baddest one. And that's not right.
Yeah. And I think that's part of, like, again, it goes back to, like, you know, why kids are joining gang and that gang mentality, because they feel like, you know, if they can be with the crew or a gang with the most people, they'll have the most protection. They don't have to answer to anybody. So I think it kind of falls back to, like, why kids, you know, want the comfort of a gang, because it's a lot harder to stand up and stick up for yourself. But if you have, you know, 50 people behind you backing you up, then you feel like you're invincible. I guess it's a trip. It really is. So, I mean, getting back again to, like, the whole thing about the black community, and I guess what we could figure out since we're doing a part two, as far as, like, you know, what are ways that we can go out here to, like, okay, when we did the show before, you guys were giving a lot of good tips, but what can we do as a community to try and get these kids to stay on the right track? I know we said last time that it starts in the home, it starts with the parents. But as far as, like, the community, what do you think is, like, the community's responsibility? Like, once they come out of the home and, you know, you taught your child the, you know, what they need to do as far as staying on the right track, now they're out there in the school, what are the school's responsibilities? Like, is it the school's responsibilities? You know, to keep our kids safe, to keep them on the right track. You have some teachers who don't care about the kids. They just want a paycheck. How do y'all feel about that?
I think we definitely need more community service programs after school for kids and free activity programs for them to get involved with, you know, to keep them busy and to keep them out of the street, you know, and getting involved in all this craziness. We need them, you know, to stay busy with positive stuff. So that way, you know, we'd be able to keep them out of the street. But a lot of these programs, you don't see too many of them anymore.
Mm-mm. It's like everything's like a budget cut.
And everything you got to pay for, too, these days.
Well, there's still some programs available, but a lot of times people don't want to apply. The parent has to apply for a sponsorship or a grant to cover it. A lot of times there are discounted rates and things like that. You just have
mm-hmm.
to talk to the center and be honest. You know, everybody can't afford,
mm-hmm.
you know, the regular rate for the programs, but like
exactly.
sponsors and things like that. But my other question is, if there are these programs available, are the children going to use them?
You
mm-hmm.
see, I think, like, they need to start at an earlier age. I'm not saying that the children, like, grown up right now is a lost cause. It's just that it's something that needs to be available. It needs to be, like, a habit for the younger kids, you know, third, fourth
mm-hmm.
grade, you know what I'm saying? And, like, my
mm-hmm.
aunt, she's a substitute teacher in New York City in Queens, and her friend, she's a full-time teacher. And some of the things that I was just hearing, how they go through, like, with the kids in middle school, it's crazy. And, like, if somebody disrespected me like that, you know, it would be hard. I'm not going to lie, it would be hard for me to want to stay after school and do right. But on a different subject, I was tweeting the other day, like, more people like my age just coming out of high school in the early 20s, they need to reach out to a kid in that community, you know, and spend time with
mm-hmm.
them, even if it's just one kid. Because, like, if it's not too long ago that I was in the same position they was, and, like, they can relate. they can relate more to, like, the 18 to 25-year-olds, if they reach out and let them know, hey, I was just there where you was at, and let them know the right way, you know, just be there for them. Just one kid out of their community, they should reach out to.
Yeah, like a mentorship program type. But, like, you know, it doesn't even have to be anything that's structured, just, you know, reaching out to that kid on your own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't have to be like we're all have to go through Big Brother, you know, the Big Brother, Big Sister program. It's just you see the kid in your neighborhood that's always, you know, home by himself or, you know, that little latchkey child because, you know, the parents are working. You can look out for them and, you know, talk to them, you know, see how their day's going and see if you can help them with any type of homework and things like that. Because I definitely think, like you said, it does start at a young age. You definitely want to get kids involved in activities and things like that. Now anything from sports to acting to, you know, any type of programs available outside of the home, it's a lot harder to push stuff on kids when they're 15 and 16. Because by then, they, you know, you almost made up your own mind by the time you're a teenager of what you like and what you don't like. So, yeah, I agree with that, that you think, you know, that it should start at a younger age as far as, like, you know, the programs and things like that. I think it really should be available to kids starting at kindergarten.
Well, the
you
thing
know,
like about
that,
right. Mm-hmm. Well, the thing about that, I think it should be different programs for different age groups, of course.
That's what's
mm-hmm.
That's definitely
free programs, you know, not just something that's asking for money, you know. We got to try to, you know, get these kids involved in different things as much as we can, positive things. You know, the key and the goal is to keep them out of the streets, getting involved in all this craziness. But if we have them involved in, you know, a lot of positive things and different activities and stuff in their community and after-school programs, the more they'll be involved, you know, in positive
yeah,
stuff.
I feel you on that.
Yeah.
And I think it should be for different age groups.
Tutors.
So what do you think, Perlasso?
Tutors, I agree with everything y'all just said. Tutors and mentors are definitely needed more than ever before. They got to be the positive role models in real life outside of these schools before it can, you know, seamlessly translate over into the schools for all ages of students and babies and whatnot, from Head Start, kindergarten, all the way up through 12th grade. They need to see the positive role models inside the home where they live at, as well as in the schools and in the neighborhoods. They say it takes a village to raise a child. I couldn't agree
mm-hmm.
with that more. When I think of a village, I think of an entire community, an entire network, huge network of, real men and real women that are selfless and showing unconditional love, not just to their own babies, but to the babies of their neighbors and whatnot. Because
mm-hmm.
Their neighbors, you know, not every neighbor is a real man and a real woman, let alone a real mother and real father to their children. And another thing that needs to stop, too, we definitely need to stop, you know, this camera phone thing. You know, children shouldn't even have these cell phones in the first place, let alone cell phones with cameras on them, because what the little children don't know is they're making the white supremacist Jews, who are the owners of these websites, filthy, rotten, rich off of this violence more than ever before, the buffoonery and coonery of the situation is making
mm-hmm.
our enemy, all the races out there, that own these websites, filthy, rotten, rich. And that needs to stop now.
I feel you. Now, I know one thing that bothers me is when I see certain videos. I mean, even the ones that I'm sent that I talk about on YouTube, is some of the comments. And, I mean, like I said, that's one thing I know about the Internet is people feel real comfortable when they're anonymous. When they have no picture, no videos, that's when people feel real comfortable to say, you know, crazy things. But, I mean, some of the comments that I see, like on World Star Hip Hop, when it's like a video of, like, black girls fighting or whoever fighting, but if it's, like, pertaining to black people, then you have a lot of these real nasty racial comments, like, you know, what do you expect? That's what, you know, N-words do. And, you know, then it's like we're called all types of, you know, derogatory names and things like that. And that's what bothers me because it seems like a lot of these sites are almost feeding off of the negativity. you know, and they're feeding off of the Clicks, and that's what puts money in their pocket, is really them putting these videos up there of black people debating themselves. I mean, now, granted, it's almost like the chicken or the egg, what came first. Who's more guilty, the idiot who recorded the video, like the mom who was grinding on her baby, and then decided to upload it onto, you know, to World Star Hip Hop, or is World Star Hip Hop guilty for even accepting it and posting it on their site? You know what I'm saying? So even if we don't see the video, it doesn't mean that the behavior is not existing.
Right.
And that's what bothers me even more, is that, you know, that regardless of if we would have saw the video or not, people are actually doing this. People are actually behaving this way.
Oh, yeah.
What do y'all think about that?
I think so, too, and because YouTube don't do anything to make the situation better. They so focused on copyright bull crap that they
mm-hmm.
overlook a lot of this bullying that going on YouTube, abuse, you know, people uploading this senseless bull crap, you know, and all kind
mm-hmm.
of stuff, you know, I mean, racism and all that type of stuff. I mean,
but
you see it all the time.
That's how they get their money. You know, that's unfortunately, it's not, you know, right, but that's the way they get their money.
That's
you know, and they don't mind displaying us the way that they feel that we are, you know, because
mm-hmm.
that's how it's been. You know, so it's, we got to stop posting these things, because there's always going to be negative people that are doing negative things, but we got to stop posting, you know, certain things for people to see. And then, you know, if you know that your neighbor is really putting their child in harm's way or doing inappropriate things, I'm a mandated reporter by law, you know, so
mm-hmm.
I'm fine. If I really know, I'm going to go to tooth and nail for this child, because that mom or whoever has that baby at that time may hate me then, but they're also going to get the help that they need to become better parents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and sometimes it takes that. You can call Child Protection anonymously. So if you know that something for sure is going on, you know, where are those neighbors? Where are those, you know, people that are around to see this? You know, because a lot of times somebody knows that this person's inappropriate with their child. Not saying the, you know, as far as the raping, but people know when sometimes when their friends are, you know, beating on their kids, or you're hearing the child in the apartment doors down, you know, constantly getting beaten on. You know, you guys have to reach out as adults and as parents or whatever to say, okay, you know, I have to do something about this, instead of turning the other cheek. Because a lot of times we turn the other cheek.
Mm-hmm. And we don't want to get involved.
Exactly.
It's like, well, that's not my place. That's not my business.
Mm-hmm. It's not helping the situation. And like I said, that parent will get the help they need to become a better parent to that child. So child protection may seem wrong to some people, but as a mandated reporter, and I know a lot the way it goes, you do have to work for your child and prove that I'm ready to take care of my child. But what's
mm-hmm.
wrong with, you know, what's wrong with that? You know, what is wrong with you having to prove that, okay, I'm clean now, or okay, I've taken anger management or AA classes, and, you know, I'm going to try to do right by my child now? You may have not had a parent or an example to show you, so that's why you don't know what to do, but you'll get that help, and your child will get the help that they need as well. I'm not saying call on everybody, you know, or anything like that. But if you know for sure, you know, don't turn the other cheek. And it starts there, too. You know, we can't expect YouTube to step in, because that's how they get paid.
Mm-hmm.
So they're laughing at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're going to
all the way to the bank.
Laughing all the way to the
right.
bank. So, ching,
that's
ching.
The truth. So now, for Lost Souls, how did you feel about the lady who had wrote that I was talking about earlier, about basically saying that, basically making excuses for the issues that are in our community and trying to point fingers and say, well, what about the Latinos and what about the whites and, you know, why are you only talking about us? They had senseless killing in their races. You know, what do you feel about that? Because like I said earlier, to me, I just feel like it's a bunch of excuses. You got to clean your house first before you worry about another, you know, another person's home.
I said that question for you is so easy for me, it ain't even funny. See, we got to stop that coward dice. That's that coward dice that's in our race. That coward dice is our ultimate downfall, not just selfishness. Selfishness comes from coward dice. Coward dice is, you know, fear. fear of what you think is going to happen if you show unconditional love to complete strangers or somebody else's child that's in trouble. And we need to come up out of that fear. You know, God doesn't give the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. See, you know, whether you're an atheist person or not, fear is our ultimate downfall as a culture for all of these negative stereotypes that we need to get rid of in our culture and whatnot. That woman was definitely a cowardly woman, to say the least. I'm just putting it, just being too kind when I put it like that, you know. She was a cowardly woman.
Because it was almost like even when I was reading it, it was all about, well, I don't do that, and I don't do that, and I went to school, and I, you know, it was all about I. And like I asked her, you still, you know, talking about yourself, what have you done to help somebody else? You know, it's like we're so quick to distance ourselves and say, well, I'm not from the hood. I grew up in the suburbs. So what makes you think that these hood people can't come to the suburbs and beat you to death?
Right.
There's no difference. You know what I'm saying? There's evil everywhere. So the thing is, you know, I feel like you should have the strength enough to address it and to say what you see is wrong with it and to call it out for what it is. You know, but it seems like when people call it out, people get upset. But like I always say, the truth is the truth. The truth hurts. You know, does it hurt me to see, you know, kids behaving that way? You know what I'm saying? I'm part of the black race. Yeah, it hurts. You know what I'm saying? But I'm not going to sit here and make excuses for it and say, oh, well, you know, it's just because they didn't have any fathers. What that mean? A lot of people grow up without fathers, and they don't turn into stone-cold killers.
That's all excuses is, selfishness. Whenever you hear people make a bunch of excuses for not taking responsibility to help their brother and their sister and their neighbor, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they wonder why they're not blessed.
The truth is hurt.
And they wonder why they're not blessed. They wonder why they're not blessed and wonder why they're not going to heaven and whatnot and why things always go wrong for them and whatnot because they want people to help them when they're in trouble but don't want to help nobody else that's in trouble. And that is totally wrong and disrespectful and just selfish and cowardly to the core.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to stop that as a culture. And she needs to come out of that.
Yeah, because, I mean, it was just like, you know, and then it was like it went from that to then trying to twist the words that I was saying. And like I told them, y'all know me, I don't go back and forth to people. And especially if you want to twist stuff so that way you can make it believable to you. Because, I mean, the video clearly states what I felt. So when you get to twisting stuff to make it sound right in your eyes, then we hadn't had enough to discuss. So she got booted. But, I mean, it was just the point that, you know, people love to make excuses for bad behavior.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And
they're trying to distance
excuses.
Yourself and act like you're not part of the black race. You're still black. Those good kids could very well be married into your family. You know what I'm saying? That could be your child out there. You sitting there thinking because you're in the suburbs and you black and you middle class, you don't know what your child might be doing when you're not looking. Your child could be that same child in the gang. So you can't look down at people in the hood and say, well, I'm not from the hood. And you can't say that all black people, of course not all black people, there's too damn many of us who behave, you know what I'm saying, with that thug mentality. It's too many of us.
True.
And I feel like a lot of us need to start changing that mentality, and you can't change it until it gets addressed, point blank.
Sure.
She was also ignoring the fact that you said community, too. Community doesn't just mean the black people. And when I make a video or something about that, I stated very clear, like, look, I'm sorry, I say black people because I'm black. It's who I relate to and who I'm talking to. Like, I can't go up and say, well, white people do this and that, because I'm not white. I'm not from that culture. I don't know what's up. I mean, I can't claim to say, well, white people this and that. How do I know? Because I'm not white.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that you shouldn't.
Because
like,
it was, I guess the person's whole argument was, how come when the Asian boy at Virginia Tech, how come when he killed those kids, no one was saying, oh, those crazy Asians? I said, because that's not Asian people's M.O. When people think about Asian people and Asian culture, that boy does not pop into mind. They think about the hardworking salon owner or the Asian restaurant down the street. But unfortunately, when they think about our black males, the first thing that pops into mind is the old dogs of the world and the Canes and the Doughboys. You know what I'm saying? Like those guys from those movies, from Boys in the Hood, Menace to Society, like those type of figures is what people first think about when they think about, you know what I'm saying, either black people or our black males. And that's unfortunate. Like I said, I'm raising two boys. And it's like, so I'm always, you know, I'm always be down to have the fellas back when it comes down to it, because I'm raising two boys. So I'm not going to walk around here and say that, you know, N-words ain't shit, because that's not true. I know a lot of good dudes. I know a lot of good black men. And I get so tired of this stereotype being out here of the black male, like the black male is just like, you know, this horrible thing. And it's not true. I have brothers, and my brothers are handling their business. My brothers are in school. They're doing the right thing. So when I hear females, you know what I'm saying, getting up on there on YouTube and they're making videos back to back to back denouncing black men, that stuff hurts. You know what I'm saying? It bothers me. The same way when I see black men up there making videos about black women not being about shit. That hurts as well, because I'm not like that. So my whole thing is I get so tired of people pinning people into categories instead of getting to know them, you know, for who they are. And that's what's up.
I went to a predominantly white college, and, like, I hate to say, like, in the dorm rooms when a crime would happen, they would post a flyer about the assailant's M.O. and their description. And I hate to say, 9 times out of 10, when I looked at that flyer, it was a black male as the description. And, like, can you, like, we read a poem in English class. It was talking about how this black man, he was afraid to walk at night because he was afraid that somebody would attack him, because, like, the stereotype of black men is so bad. You know, he walking down the street and this white woman runs across the street because, you know, he's black. He wears baggy jeans, you know what I'm saying? But he's an honest, good working man just like anybody else, but he has insomnia, he likes to walk the streets at night, and because of the stereotype that black men carry, people avoid him, you know?
Exactly, and that's what irritated me with that excuse that the girl was trying to pull, because, like I said, again, when you think about an Asian male, the dude from Virginia Tech is not what pops into mind. I mean, you know, that's just been brushed under the rug. That was just one Asian. But unfortunately, when one of us do something, it's our entire race. You know what I'm saying? It's like all of a sudden all those people are together, but when it's other races, they don't get banned together.
But like she said, truthfully, 9 times out of 10, you know, honestly, it is our men being portrayed in the media and committing a lot of crimes. So we need our black men to step up, you know. We can't just say, you know, it's not all of them. No, but it's a good portion of them, you know. And we need y'all to step up, you know, and start showing that, no, just because I'm black or just because I'm from here, I can get a job, you know. And a lot of our black men aren't content with the paycheck that has for 2 weeks $1,000 to, you know, $1,500 on there. You know, that's okay. You don't have to make $1,000 in a day, you know, because that's going to get taken from you. That's going to be quick in and out money, you know. But our men got to start stepping up and staying high and, you know, stop looking so mean all the time. It's like, man, you know, sometimes we don't smile. We don't smile. And we can look fearful to other people. We don't realize it, that we don't look approachable. You may not be, you know, somebody who's going to stick somebody up or selling drugs or anything, but there's nothing wrong with saying hello, you know, or reaching out to somebody, and that doesn't make you weak by doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of our men aren't stepping up to be that.
And Trag is saying, why don't y'all black women step up? And then,
well,
I do. And that's what I was just saying before you got here, is that I definitely feel it's a two-way street. You know what I'm saying? It's so easy to say that black men ain't this and black men ain't that, but it's a two-way street. You know what I'm saying? I know a lot of black women who ain't, you know what I mean? So it's just like, I just think that as a community, we all need to do better.
Oh, yeah,
I mean, we could sit here and throw salt all day, but at the end of the day, we still have to get everything together, you know what I'm saying, as a community. And, you know, and I just feel like it's just too much. It's too many excuses, and I get tired of people trying to distance themselves and act like, you know, they're not part of the black community because they're not in the hood. At the end of the day, when people don't care what, you know, where you live at, when they see you, they see black. They're not thinking, oh, well, she's a suburban black person and he's a hood black, but they're still seeing black.
Well, I'm looking at some of the blogs right now, and I think somebody has taken what I'm saying wrong, because, no, honey, I mean, I definitely help and encourage our black men. You know, I'm definitely for our black men. I'm just saying, you know, step up, period. Both need to step up. Don't get me wrong, but she made a comment about the black man who was walking the street, you know, and scared the white woman, you know, and things like that. And the man in the dorm room, you know, that type of situation, we all need to step up, most definitely. But I do definitely back our men. You know, I try to get, I talk to a lot of the men more because I try to get them to see that there's more for them. You know, and because they're from wherever, you know, or, you know, they've seen whatever, doesn't mean that they can't fly above, or because I'm a female, it's going to be easier for me, or they can't do something I can't do. You know what I mean? A lot of men sometimes think, or a lot of women think that, you know, I can't do this because I'm a woman, or I can't do this because I'm a male. You know, everybody has the same things presented to them, whether it's the education. We all have free education. You know, we all can get up and make better choices in our everyday lives. You know, so don't think that I'm trying to be, you know, one-sided or anything like that. I was just commenting on the black men situation.
You see, that's nothing, in my opinion, nothing more, like, I'm not hating on a black man, because there's nothing more beautiful than a black male, in my opinion,
right. Doing
what he has to do. I mean, and it's like, I hate to say, it's really rare to see, like, a young black male. It's like they always clean up their act when they get older. And, like, imagine if they would have had that mindset, you know, when they were in their 20s, you know, early 20s. It'll be so much more, so much, you know, to find somebody between 20 and 25 that has that mindset is very rare.
Right.
I feel on that.
Yeah.
I'm going to fear whoever looks wrong. I'm sorry. I'm not going to fear a black man just because he's walking down the street at a certain time. I'm going to fear whoever looks crazy to me. Whether he be white, black, Mexican, if you look wrong, I'm going to go the other way.
y'all's in the chat room clowning.
I'm a good black man.
No. Okay, you're a good black man. Lovely T is not having no more kids. I'm good. I got my two. I'm straight, man. Kids are not free. Anyways, but yeah, I mean, I just wanted to come on and, you know, do a part two and just talk about some stuff and some questions. But I mean, do you guys think really that this senseless violence is going to stop anytime soon? I mean, they're saying they got Obama come into to Chicago, and they have like the mayors and everybody socially converging and trying to figure out what to do about the crime in Chicago. But, again, it's been happening for so many years. Why is it just now getting done? And I understand that the beating was caught on tape, but it's like, shouldn't have all this been, you know, brought together when the first child was killed? Like, why wasn't that an outrage? So do you guys really think that there's anything going to be done just because Obama says so, or whoever, you know, in Chicago says that they're going to take care of it? Do you think it's really going to get taken care of, or is it just another excuse?
No. Absolutely not. All Obama gives us is campaign rhetoric only, to do exactly what his bosses is telling him to do. He ain't nothing but the latest Wall Street puppet. That's all of the so-called presidents we've had in this country so far have been Wall Street puppets, working for the Vatican, working for the Illuminati, the IMF World Bank, the Federal Reserve, and those central banks overseas.
And
so the answer to your question is no. I don't see the violence stopping.
He said no.
No.
So you don't think Obama's going to do anything in Chicago to help, you know, alleviate the situation of all these kids since they're dying?
No.
Because I know somebody wrote that comment too, like, Obama will fix everything. I'm like, are you serious? I mean, he's just one man.
Right. You can't just depend on him to do everything. I mean, he hadn't even been in the chair a year and already people complaining, you know. Let the man, you know, do his job, you know. And I don't think the violence is going to stop at all.
He's doing his job mm-hmm. for the people he works for, not for us. He doesn't work for us. People, especially our race, we need to get that understood real quick. All the other races realize this except for our race. The fact that he represents the New World Order. He's a part of the New World Order, the financial elite. He works for Wall Street, not Main Street. Main Street is us. Wall Street is Obama and his administration and the bosses that he works for. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So he's not going to do nothing for Main Street, especially if you're African.
You see, what a lot of people have a lot of attitude. They have attitude. They've heard that help is coming. Like, I was watching, I was on Ustream, and 50 was talking about the beating in Chicago, and the lady had called in. She was all like, people, we see this every day. What people don't fail to realize, the reason why they're making an uproar about it now is because it happened to get on tape, and it happened to get on the Internet. It happened to become a craze. And she's like, which I don't realize, we see this every day. We see worse happening. And the police department sometimes it take hours to get there. And it's, where's the help? They've been asking for help.
The white supremacist Jewish runs the police department. They run the military. They run the White House. They run the Congress. They run the Senate, the House of Misrepresentatives. They run everything that benefits the poor and middle class in this country and worldwide. Okay? These are white supremacist devils that run this thing. And they want us dead.
Now.
The plan is to kill all Africans worldwide by any means necessary. And black-on-black crime, which is their invention, last time I checked, CIA, remember that? Bringing the drugs and guns to the black neighborhoods and whatnot, that's poor. This is their invention, this is their plan, and this is their design for the African people worldwide. Genocide.
Well, we got to get out. I think we kind of got to get away from that because that gets to, again, pointing fingers, you know, and we can't say that this is because of that, you know. Truthfully, yeah, we know we've been through things and we know that there are, you know, things and place and people in places that are set up against us, you know,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, we have to figure out a way to overcome that and get around and jump over those hurdles, because we still can do that, you know. That's just another hurdle in your way. You're always going to have negative people in your way. You're always going to have some type of ignorance in your way. We have to teach and instill ways that, you know, to fly above that and get around those hurdles. You know, we can't just say that,
and like I said before, you've still got to talk about, you know what I'm saying, self-responsibility. I mean, yeah, you could blame, you know, other races, you could blame whoever, but at the end of the day, you know, you still have to take, you know, self-responsibility for that individual. The individual did that. So, I mean, no matter how, you know, how much you want to say they were brainwashed or it was, you know, so-called people behind the scenes, at the end of the day, it's still on the individual person. You still took somebody's life. When you get up in trial, you cannot say, oh, I blame Obama or I blame such and such. Nah, you did that.
Right.
You know, you can't forget that, you know.
Half of the black-on-black crime is our fault, to be brutally honest and technical with you. Half of this is our fault. The other half is their fault, the white supremacist Jews that run this entire nation and the world and whatnot.
You see,
you
want to
be brutally honest and technical about it. It is what it is.
Things aren't going to change for our community until we are, as a whole, want better for ourselves and have a self-worth of ourselves. I mean, when we want better for each other, that's when things are going to change. But until then, when everybody got this dog-eat-dog mentality and everybody want to do for themselves, I understand you got to get you. But at the same time, it's like I said, it's not going to hurt to reach out to somebody younger, because it's gonna, the youth is what's gonna change it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, And I feel, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I also want to ask that question, too, because a lot of people are saying that should hip-hop artists step up? You know, what's their role in this? How come, you know, Kanye West is so quick to yell out about Beyonce on the MTV Awards, but he ain't said nothing about this little boy? So, I mean, is it hip-hop's responsibility? Is it our responsibility? Because at the end of the day, he doesn't live in the hood. You know, he doesn't even live out there no more. So, you know, I feel like it's more on the community than on the celebrity. If we sit around waiting for the Kanyes and the Jay-Z's to step up, we're going to be waiting forever. Whereas, you know, the mothers are there, the fathers are there in the community. I feel personally that's who needs to be out here protesting and wanting to change in their community so they live there. What y'all think about that? We got about 5 minutes left.
Well, the hip-hop community, If they stop being selfish, they can definitely lend a helping hand, you know, because they, whether they know it or not, the hip-hop community, everybody that's in the limelight, period, in the entertainment industry, period, is role models. You're either a positive role model or you're a negative role model. If you're a negative role model, then we know what that's about, and you're going to be selfish for the rest of your life. But if you're a positive role model and you're on the microphone, just so happen to make your millions on the microphone or whatever, you can definitely lend a helping hand too, okay? Because just us in our own communities cannot do everything, especially if our communities are poor communities.
Mm-hmm.
Financially.
But I still feel like it's on the community to speak up. Like, I just feel like if we sit around saying, well, we need to wait for Kanye, we need to wait for this person, to me, these celebrities are not role models anyway.
Exactly.
You know, they can speak up, but who's to say that it's even sincere?
Right, because people need to stop expecting the TV to raise their kids and do it their damn self. They're too fucking lazy and want to point fingers at other people and other things, or what about this and what about that, and worrying about what's going on TV. In the end of the day, Kanye West, and all these people are not going to be in your house helping you raise your child.
Mm-hmm.
See, and a lot of people use technology and the movement of the times. You know, they're like, Mom, but everybody got a cell phone, you know. They let that get some, you know. Like, they let society set the standards of their home, and that ain't right.
Exactly.
I can pose a challenge on whoever's listening out there. If people could say something or do something positive in a child's life, with not only your own, you know, each day of the week. That's only seven, you know, that's seven nice things to do. You know, whether it's just a simple comment, a dollar, you know, whatever it is, go ahead and be nice to a child, you know. I'm imposing that challenge because I can't see or say what people do when the phone hangs up or when no one's looking. And I know what I do, you know, as a person and what I try to do for children and, you know, neighborhood children, my daughter's school peers and things like that. But I'm challenging everyone who's listening to do something, say something, reach out for a child each day. A comment.
Exactly.
Second.
So that's a good note to end down. We have about 2 minutes left. And, you know, I'm glad that, you know, the people who called in, the people who came to the chat room, it was a lot quieter today, but I'm glad we kind of got that out there just to get people's opinions on the situation. So, you know, we'll probably do another show, but I'm not going to do any more senseless violence shows. I just want to do this part two because I did get some questions I wanted to get answered. But so we're about to get up out of here. I want to thank everyone who called in, and I want to thank everybody who stopped through. I will see you guys later. Bye, y'all.
All right, now. Have a good night.
Peace.
All right.
Peace out.